you tried this, Tara? Have you actually put this in your mouth?
Yes! Oh, it's fabulous. Oh, it's fabulous.
Ooh, she's cracking open a beer.
Nope.
I'm immune to dog farts. It doesn't bother me. Fish fingers, dear, not fish sticks.
Oh, well, in America, they're called fish sticks.
Who cares? It's all the same thing, and it's all nasty.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Rewire the world. I'm a happy bunny. I'm happy bunny.
I am true. Thank you.
13 weeks of me being in a good mood you've got to put up with now. I hope you're freaking ready.
Oh, I'm ready. That's what the happiness is all about, baby. That's a good thing. So, I think I just found my opening clip.
That was the nose blow of Rathinal.
The nose blow of Rathinal. You're tuned to the Happiness Patrol. Ooh-wee, what a good time we had. And what a good time we're going to have. And welcome to the Happiness Patrol, because we are very, very happy today. We just saw Matt Smith in his debut as the Doctor in The 11th Hour, which debuted last night and in the BBC and also over computers worldwide. And we here at the Happiness Patrol were able to see it. So hang on tight, because it's all about The 11th Hour and Matt Smith and the review of The 11th Hour here on the Happiness Patrol. If you haven't seen it, beware.
No way.
Beware.
Spoiler alert.
Hey, Tar, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Good, good.
A little stuffed up, but I'm okay.
Good. And Leela, how you doing, hon?
Good.
Great. And Dale?
Yes?
Did you enjoy yourself last night?
I'm still flying.
You know, I am too.
I am not coming down for the next 13 weeks.
It was pretty amazing. So hang on, guys. There's going to be spoilers aplenty, because we don't hold anything back here on the Happiness Patrol, which starts right now. All right. Okay, so golly gee whiz. So anyway, wow, The 11th Hour. Matt Smith made his debut as the Doctor. There was a lot of speculation about, you know, if he's going to be able to fill, you know, David Tennant's shoes, blah, 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 that sort of thing, you know. And I tell you, after watching that episode, I'm kind of like thinking, wow, David who? I don't know. I was sort of thinking that. I love my David. But, man, Matt Smith, he just made a debut that was hard to beat. Hard to beat. So, what do you think, gang?
The thing that I was most impressed with is, you know, I've been getting very, very angry at people over the last month. Just hating on poor old Matt Smith. You know, oh, he's too young. Eh, his face looks funny. And boy, the moment he popped up out of the TARDIS.
I love you, Tara.
What's up, Dale?
I think that was pretty. That's exactly what they're like.
That's exactly what they're like. They're whiny, miserable little bastards, and they all need to be put to bed without their tea. And I'm just tired of listening to them. All they've done over the last couple of months is whine and bitch and moan and cry. And oh, I wish David Tennant was coming back. And I'm tired of this shit. God damn it. So, the moment he sticks his head up out of the TARDIS, you can see exactly why Moffat went so nuts over him. He has got the oldest eyes. I mean, those eyes are just amazing.
Wow.
And I don't give a rat's ass if he's 26. He doesn't look 26 to my way of thinking. And he had me the moment he popped up out of that box, like a jack in the box. I was just so thrilled. And then he down, starts talking to that little girl, and I was just like, okay, we're back in business. You know, I don't care what anybody else thinks. That's it. He's the doctor. There he is.
Leela, is your favorite doctor David, or is it?
Yes.
Okay. Because I was thinking it might be your first doctor.
Well, Eccleston was my first doctor, I think David really became my doctor.
So after last night, does that still stand true?
Oh, of course it does. But that doesn't mean I don't like Matt Smith. I mean, I knew, even when they announced him, you know, I had trust in Stephen Moffat and everyone that they chose who they thought would portray the doctor the best. And this first episode, of course, proved me right. Mm-hmm. And I love him. I think he's just brilliant. And I can't wait to see the rest of the series.
Dale, I think we probably know how you feel, but go ahead and give us your opinion for the record.
I was worried. I was actually really worried before this.
Really?
Really?
Well, I always worry far too much. Literally, I go paranoid when there's a new doctor. What? It's not... I don't have faith in the show, because... As Leela's just said, and as Tara's pointed out, you know, the production team know what they're doing. They know who they're casting. They've done it for a reason. But I'm always worried in case I don't like them. And, you know, kind of, what happens if I don't like my childhood hero anymore? And, you know, literally, God, dear, there's that brilliant opening scene where he nearly got his family jewels knocked off by Big Ben. Ouch. But managed to avoid that and landed somewhere just outside Gloucester. And the minute Tara put it, you know, the minute he popped up at the Tara, like, can I have an apple? And I just looked at him and I thought, oh my God, I actually love you. And amazingly for me, and you know, as somebody who's been around with this program for, well, ever, as far as my life's concerned, I didn't think about any of the other doctors once until the scene at the end with, you know, with the 11, with the previous 10 all popping up on the display.
Yeah.
Which was a tad reverential and fantastical, and I loved. But I didn't once think, oh, David would have done that differently, and I didn't once think, oh, how would Tom Baker have done that? It seemed like 20 minutes to me.
Yeah.
It was so fast. Mm-hmm. So furious.
It was well paced. Very well paced.
Perfect. It was scary. I mean, there were some really scary bits. There were bits that made my blood run cold. I mean, there's the crack in the wall that's issuing drafts and voices but doesn't go all the way through the wall. That actually gave me a quick chill.
Yeah.
But the scene in the hospital where that woman starts talking and then her daughter carries on in the same voice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was fun. That was
the look on Amy's face kind of gives you is like what I think both you and I felt, because her eyes get all big and she kind of steps back and it's like, that is exactly what you would do. Your eyes just go huge.
Well, you know, speaking of Amy Pond, I was absolutely delighted with her.
And, oh, I love her.
I mean, from the moment that she's cooking bacon for the doctor, you know, I was like, this is great.
Actually,
you know,
Amelia, because I think, you know, the child actress, is it Caitlin who was playing her? I have no idea. But she was perfect.
Oh, yeah. She was cute.
Wait a minute. Has anybody seen The Confidential yet?
I haven't seen The Confidential yet.
She is the cousin of...
Karen Gillan. Yes, she is.
Really?
But they'd never met until the read-through, which
I
is
know.
Brilliant. Because Karen lives in Scotland and Caitlin lives in Ireland.
How crazy is that?
But, oh, she was literally... I mean, she was perfect as Amelia.
Couldn't have gotten a better person for the role. I mean...
And then we get to adult Amy.
Uh-huh.
She is so natural at it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I mean, with all due respect to Billy and Freema and Catherine, etc., Karen was just literally, she was just there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, from the get-go.
There wasn't any effort put into it, almost. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, there was from an acting point of view, but it seemed so natural and so... meant to be, and that pair just gelled beautifully, and oh my god, it was amazing.
That was quite great. And another bit that I really enjoy is just the fact that like you said, Leela, when she gets excited or scared, you know, her eyes get all big. And I have a feeling that her eyes getting big like that are going to be pretty much her trademark, and will be now the Amy Pond big eye look. So. The new doctor. So Dale, you couldn't see any influences at all from any other doctors in Matt Smith's portrayal?
No, I can't.
He uses a lot of the, I mean, there was wonderful references back to the 10th Doctor, and then he would sort of snap and come back, and it was, oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah, he did that little nose sniff that David Tennant did so well.
Yep.
Yeah.
But no, so there are nods to previous incarnations through it, but I didn't stop and think that's a David scene, or that's a Tom scene, or that's a Patrick Troughton scene. It's the Doctor.
Yeah.
And in order to make me think that, I have to be completely involved in the program.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I was.
The Doctor is a shit boyfriend again, which is absolutely true. He's completely.
I bet he's not.
You can't trust him worth a damn. He says he'll be back in 5 minutes.
I would trust that man to the end of the universe and back.
Oh, absolutely. But he's a shit boyfriend. That's the thing.
I bet he's bloody not.
You love him to death, but he's you got to be prepared because this is the shit you have to cope with when you're a doctor, okay? He says he'll be back in 5 minutes. 12 years.
That wasn't exactly his fault. The TARDIS engines were phasing and it was about to blow up. Come
That's
on.
Right. I mean, come on. The TARDIS was regenerating also, literally.
Yes, we are back to the unstable, unpredictable, absolutely mad Doctor, which we have not had since, what, 4?
Tom Baker.
And, so, let's point out at the end of the hour and 5 minutes that the episode actually was, not the 20 that it seemed to make because it just whizzed past.
Yeah.
I had completely fallen in love with the Doctor again, all over again, brand new. I love that man. I absolutely love that man. Yes, exactly. I'm having multiple fangasms. It's amazing.
Mm-mm. All over the Happiness Patrol. So, so what did you guys think about the number one? This is a two-parter. What did you guys think about the opening sequence and the music, the new theme for the opening sequence?
Loved it.
I stopped breathing. Literally, he went, and I'm like, and it was so different. I mean, so different. Especially that theme. That theme is so different from anything that's gone before. Now, that's not to say it's bad. Because, you know, because Doctor Who fans are always saying, oh, it's very different. And they say it in a negative tone, but I don't mean it negatively.
Uh-huh.
It was just different. And I went, I didn't aim me. I sat there with big eyes and holding my breath.
You didn't aim me.
And the vortex reminded me of the second Dalek from the 60s. It's very smoky.
You know, you're right.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that. Oh, that's cool. That's very cool. What a great point.
And I'd like to know why there's a lightning storm in the vortex and why it hits the TARDIS twice.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
Promised, weren't we? Didn't they say that they were going to include Matt Smith's face in the credits?
I never read anything about that.
See, I'd heard that. I'd heard it repeatedly. So I'm wondering now. I've heard another rumor this morning that they're going to give us another title sequence.
Well,
no way. I'm sorry, that costs far too bloody
actually,
much.
What I was reading, some of the, you know, well, most of the reviews online or just, you know, comments online was
right.
Amazingly positive. You know, everybody was just, you know, squeeing their little two double hearts out. The one thing I did read that wasn't as popular, you know, with everybody, and it was mainly, I think, from British fans.
Typical.
They didn't like the title sequence. They didn't like the title sequence.
My sister didn't like it either.
Really? Yep. She didn't like it?
She watched it after I did, and
right.
She came downstairs and said, I loved it, but I don't like the new title sequence.
fix it.
So I really like the sequence. I like the music. The music was like not too terribly different from the music that we're used to from the new series.
But it
was changed.
I thought it was very different from the
music. That's what I thought too.
Well, it was quite obvious to me, and obviously to you, Dale, also. But it still had the strings, that you're come to used to with Murray Gold. But it was redone, and I think it was redone fabulously because it was more, it was a bit more playful. It was a bit more sci-fi, electronic, which is, a little more back to the original. And the TARDIS, fumbling through, the lightning vortex. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fine. I think the only thing I really didn't like, if I could say any kind of criticism whatsoever, and this is just, calm down, Dale. This was just a very minor sort of thing because I'm a font junkie. I love fonts. I wasn't really big on the when Matt Smith's name came up on the screen. I didn't like the steel looking texture on the font.
Are you mad? It was fabulous.
I wasn't big on that, but I'm sure it'll grow on me. So.
It is a little difficult to read. I'm sorry, as somebody who's been trained to be pissy about readability,
uh-huh.
It is a little difficult to read.
Uh-huh.
But it is very highly stylized, and it's very highly stylized for a reason.
Yes, you're exactly right.
That's my beef with it.
Yeah, it's just to me. I don't have any particular beef other than it just wasn't quite my taste, and I would have done it a little differently, but I'm not in charge. So, but other than that, I fucking love the title sequence. I liked it, the music and everything. I think Murray Gold was great.
I can't wait for the soundtrack.
Did you just drop an F-bomb, Lewis?
Oh, yes, I guess I did. Excuse me. It's Easter. It's Easter. I shouldn't be.
I was going to say, is that not allowed all of a sudden? Because
yeah, I'm going to have to go home. I'm going to take my car to school.
I'm wondering if there's going to be a backlash from Scott's because saying, I don't like the way the doctor is mean to ginger Scottish girls, making them fry him breakfast and whatnot.
Stephen Moffat is Scottish.
So it was an inside joke.
Yes, it was. And I laughed, as a Scots person, I laughed my head off. The nation that invented deep-fried curly whirlies, pizzas and Mars bars. And there's a line that says, you're Scottish, fry something. And I'm like, yes! Yes!
That's funny.
At which point, I fell off the couch.
That's pretty funny. Because when I think of deep fry, I think of the American South. You're from Alabama? Fry me a Mars bars.
Yeah, they were invented in Glasgow.
Mr. McCoy.
And now they deep fry pizza.
That's nuts. I'd love to try that.
No. The best one, State Fair of Texas, deep fried Coca-Cola.
What? How do you fry Coca-Cola? That's an impossibility.
No, it's not. They got a patent from this, and it is approved by the Coca-Cola company. They took Coca-Cola syrup, and they made it into a batter, and they deep fry it.
Son of a bitch.
Shit you not. You can have deep fried Coca-Cola at the State Fair of Texas.
So what do they put this batter on?
They make it up into little balls, and then they put it in they deep fry those, and then they put those in a cup, and then you can have more Coca-Cola syrup poured over top.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Good hell.
Now, have you tried this, Tara? Have you actually put this in your mouth?
Yes. Oh, it's fabulous. Oh.
I think I'm going to stick to fish fingers and custard.
It sounds
less revolting.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, suddenly fish fingers and custard sounds fine.
Now, I like custard, but not in for the fish fingers. Ugh.
I agree.
I love when he stuck his face in the bowl and came up with a custard mustache. Can we just say
yeah, that was a funny bit.
Love that. Sorry. Just love that.
I, I love the yogurt bit. No, yogurt's my favourite. Give me yogurt.
Jesus,
that's disgusting. It's just stuffed with bits in. I'm like, I love you. At which point I was already halfway off of the sofa thinking I just love you forever.
Now, what about WonderCon? Tell us a little background on WonderCon first.
WonderCon is sort of San Diego Comic-Con's little sister, and it's held up in San Francisco, and it's a huge media con, but it is much smaller than San Diego Comic-Con, which is 30,000 people.
Now, when is that happening?
It's happening this weekend.
Oh, okay.
And about 2 weeks ago, BBC America has a presence there. They usually have a booth. And about 2 weeks ago, BBC America announced that they were going to premiere The 11th Hour at WonderCon, and people lost their friggin' minds.
So.
Well, yeah, that's okay. That was the official BBC America premiere of it, was at WonderCon, and they're going to be doing another event in New York.
Uh-huh.
And I have heard conflicting reports about that. I've heard that they sold tickets. I heard that they weren't selling tickets. I heard they're sold out. I've heard just crazy stuff. And I'm waiting to hear back from Andre on what the exact and actual story is on that. So we'll have to get a report from our man in the field, Andre Tessier.
Andre, our happiness patroller in New York City, our man on the street in New York City. Yes.
Man who gets shit done. That's our Andre.
That's right. Now, that's going to be that BBC America event will be on the 17th. They're supposed to have Matt Smith,
yes.
Karen Gillan,
yep.
and Stephen Moffat. There,
yes,
in New York City, and I can't remember the exact location, but we here on the Happiness Patrol do have a man on the scene.
It better be pretty friggin' big.
so we will be hearing some stuff about that, and we will have a special report on that. So when it does happen, because I know it's going to be a big one. It's going to be a big one. So
well, I'm really expecting to hear an announcement from BBC America about that showing now that they've done it at WonderCon. And that now that the showing at WonderCon was so insane, I'm expecting to hear an announcement from BBC America saying that they've changed the venue or they've done something because the crowds were massive at WonderCon.
Yeah, well, so, we'll see. We'll stay tuned.
You know what the
that.
Press release will say, don't you? The press release will say, in order to facilitate the large crowds that we did experience at WonderCon, we've taken over Canada for the day.
Good. They won't mind.
So speaking of WonderCon, which happened this weekend, we actually have a special guest on the Happiness Patrol, Nancy Alegria. Welcome to the Happiness Patrol.
Well, hey there, Uncle Lou.
Well, so you went to WonderCon. Okay, now... Was it pretty wonderful?
Yes, it was. It was very crowded.
Oh.
It's kind of like the junior San Diego Comic-Con, because it's run by the same people.
Uh-huh.
And it's not as big. It's at Moscone Center in San Francisco, my hometown. So, you know, I had to go.
Uh-huh.
And but it was at points on Saturday, the aisles were so crowded you could barely walk through. And I imagine that was like my little taste of what it would be like to go to Comic-Con now, because I haven't been since like 89.
Wow.
And I'm not going.
Yeah.
It's just I want to be able to walk.
Wow.
I want to be able to get out if there's like a fire or something.
Most of the sci-fi franchises were represented. Now, how was Doctor Who represented there?
Well, BBC America was there. They didn't have a table or anything. I was kind of expecting them to maybe have a booth or a table or something.
With swag.
Yeah, they did. They just brought a copy of The 11th Hour.
Well, you know what? Of all the things they could have brought, that would be absolutely the best thing. They could leave all the swag at home, but you know, just to have that there was amazing. Okay. So there was actually a showing then.
Yes, there was. There was
cool.
a showing Saturday night, which was, I think this is just so awesome. I mean, that was the same day it aired in Britain.
Right,
so.
Right.
We were special.
Yes, you were. You were legally seeing it in America.
Exactly. Also, we got to see it in a room full of people.
Ah, yes. Yes. So what was the general reaction?
oh, everybody loved it. I mean, it was great. It was great seeing it in a crowd because, you know, the audience was really into it. Uh-huh. And it's like anytime the doctor did something really cool, it was like people would cheer. And, you know, it was
slam packed. Now, I heard that there was like three or four show. What's the rumor? The rumor there was like a lot of showings. So what was it really like? Since you were eyewitness right there in the thick of it, tell us, Nancy, what was it really?
Yes, I will tell you. So what happened?
Set the record straight, baby.
Yeah, I will set the record straight. So the showing was at 6:30, and along about 4:30 or so, it was the dealer's room was getting really crowded, and I was like, let's go like see what's going on out there. And I was thinking, I'll just sit in the room where it's going to be and knit. And so I went out, and my daughter and all her 13 and 14-year-old buddies were sitting there in the hall, and they were getting ready to go in. But they were doing the Star Wars Clone Wars preview. And so the room was fairly packed, but we just thought, let's go in and just wait for people to leave. Mm-hmm. So we went in, and we kind of stood up. And then when the Clone Wars thing emptied out, it was actually pretty empty. So we went and sat down, but that was the next panel was a Green Lantern panel, and this is the point when everybody else, I think, decided, oh, let's go watch the Green Lantern panel and get a good seat for the Doctor Who thing. So there was a huge line, and all of a sudden, just before the Green Lantern panel started, I think the staff got a little panicky that it was like, whoa, we aren't going to be able to fit all these people in there. So they ended up, you know, they had a real organized line, and, you know, if you were in there, you had to stay there. Luckily, they did give you little tickets if you had to go to the bathroom. So you'd go back and, you know, your seat would still be there.
Wow, that's organization is what that is.
It was. You know, I got to these guys. They were pretty together.
Cool.
So we sat through the Green Lantern panel, and the funny thing was, though, that the room was kind of had three sections, and when the Green Lantern panel was over, the two sections that were in front of the tables, those people got up and left, but everybody who was in front of the screen stayed.
Oh, yeah.
It was like,
yeah.
Doctor Who fans on the right, Green Lantern fans on the left.
So
I think most people who had been waiting in line during the Green Lantern panel probably got in. I think there probably was still a bit of a line.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't tell because I closed the door.
Oh, wow.
And my daughter and her friends were hanging around outside, and while I was gone, they'd let everybody in, and there was still room, and the teenagers went back in and watched a bit of the second showing. So I don't think they actually did a third showing, even though somebody had said they were gonna.
Uh-huh.
So we were gone by then.
But there was enough people, there were enough Doctor Who fans there to justify a third showing if they were going to do that.
I don't know, because, you know, the place was pretty empty. Oh, and also that would have coincided with the Masquerade.
Okay. So, I got you. But two showings, and...
Two showings for sure, yeah.
That was twice as much as they expected then, I guess.
Oh, and I forgot to tell you, the really cool little thing at the beginning, as part of the introduction, there was a little message from Matt and Karen.
Oh, really?
Saying, hello, San Francisco! It was that's kind of cool.
That's very nice. That's very cool. That's amazing. I'm so glad that you were actually able to. I'm not glad. I'm just jealous, Nancy. you were able to check that out. So that's amazing. And you know, April 17th, we were just talking about it. April 17th, we're going to see Matt and Karen and Stephen Moffat in New York for the American debut. So you think that's going to be as crowded as Underkand?
Probably, yep. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think the Doctor Who fans as a whole were, you know, just a small subset of the, you know, the people who are at WonderCon.
Because
it is, it started as a comic book convention. I remember when it was a tiny little comic book convention.
Uh-huh.
But it got bigger, and I guess I someone can correct me on this, but I think it got swallowed up by the behemoth that is San Diego Comic Con. It's like, you know, San Diego's little brother.
Wow, that's super cool. Wow, that's that's really cool. Well, Nancy, thanks so much for being on the Happiness Patrol and bringing us this report from your exciting geeky weekend.
It was.
You know what, Nancy? It's so funny. I had the pleasure of meeting Nancy and her daughter and her daughter's friends. All the 13-year-old girls that are just nuts for Doctor Who over at Galley this year, and let me tell you, you're bringing those girls up right, you know.
Well, you know, like I said, I infected my daughter, and then she's been infecting all of her friends,
right?
And then they are getting some other friends interested in it. And there were about six of them there last night at the showing.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, I got to tell you this.
Yeah.
One of her friends had, you know, she'd seen pictures of Matt Smith, and she was kind of like, I don't think I'm going to like this guy. When we walked out of there, she was a Matt Smith fan.
Ah. I have a feeling that a lot of young ladies after last night are now hardcore Matt Smith fans. Young ladies and, well, ladies of all ages, I guess I should say.
But yeah, he won them over.
Cool.
They did everything right.
Well, he definitely won us over here at the Happiness Patrol. I mean, it's been nothing but a squee fest, but it's a love fest. So Nancy, thanks for being on the Happiness Patrol. We really do appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
And you are welcome to come back here anytime you want to, if you just want to hang out and chit chat with Dale and Leela and Tara.
But I don't mind being your West Coast correspondent.
Well, we love it. We got a Southern California correspondent, so now you can be our Northern California correspondent, which I think is just fantastic. The tentacles of the Happiness Patrol are spreading all over the world.
And as I told you before, my last name is Spanish for happiness. So, you know.
Oh, there you go. There you go. How about that? It was destiny. Okay, well, thanks so much, Nancy.
Can we just talk for a moment about that lovely little homage of, you know, how many times the doctor has stolen his outfit from a hospital? You know, where he's just.
It's almost a running joke, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean.
Well, just twice, right?
Three, isn't it?
Oh, wait, no. John
the third doctor, the eighth doctor, and now this.
Yep.
Oh, Leela,
you are so
good.
Yeah,
Leela.
You know, you've earned your golden star of excellence. So,
yes.
Hang on, no. Can we have something better? Because Adric had one of those, and he was shit. I think we should have the Moffat Award for amazingness, and that's what Leela's got.
So what would that little badge look like?
Give her a bowl of custard with fish fingers.
Yeah, she doesn't
I'll
like fish.
I'll give the fish fingers to Dale.
Actually, we'll
I love fish fingers, and I love custard.
We'll just make a resin fish finger and make it into a little pin so she can wear it on her lapel when she goes out and stuff.
Yeah, but you got to dip the end of it in something that looks like custard.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we'll do that, yeah.
Well, if I get my life-size Matt Smith, I'll dip it in something similar.
No! what you do in the privacy of your own house, Dale, is your own goddamn business, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear about it.
God, I love this
alert!
Podcast.
Alert! Okay, so anyway, that sonic screwdriver is pretty damn cool. It looked a little bit too much like a flashlight in all the little pictures that I saw from the promo pictures.
For a moment, I mean, it's just a
No. What I'm talking about is like the promo pictures that the BBC put out of him with his sonic screwdriver. It's so bright at the end, it looks like a damn flashlight. And I was like, what the hell? Is it like, you know, what, a sonic screwdriver, a flashlight now? You know, but
the word in the press is that he's broken four of them so far.
Yeah.
He has admitted he has broken four of them so far.
Yeah. And then there's the whole Heathrow
incident.
Now, you think Heathrow would be used to this because the first ever drama that was allowed to film at Heathrow Airport was Doctor Who.
Now, I've got another Heathrow story for you because several of you remember that I went up to Long Island to see the Shada scarf that was in the private collection of Richard Baron Cohen had the Shada scarf in his private collection. And he told me when he bought it at auction at Bonhams, he was coming through customs and he was going through Heathrow. And they opened his bags and the custom agent said,
is that what I think it is? And Richard said, yeah, that's the Doctor Who scarf. I just bought it at Bonhams. And they closed down customs so everybody could come and have a look. And Richard was saying, for a moment there, I thought they weren't going to let me out of the country with it.
That's pretty funny.
But I always remember how the Doctor Who scarf shut down customs at Heathrow Airport.
That's a great story.
It doesn't surprise me.
Do you think Stephen Moffat, I mean, Dale, you said it was a bit scary. It had some scary parts, and it did have some damn scary parts, I thought. Now, do you think it's a little maybe too dark or maybe slightly too scary for kids?
No.
Not at all?
I think that was perfectly pitched
you
last night.
You think it was well balanced?
I have a feeling it's going to get darker.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because if you go with how Russell T used to plot his seasons, right. He used to start fairly light and with a reasonably comedic first episode, and then go darken the pits of hell.
Right.
But I think we're in for more scares. I think we're in for more frights, more of the wonderful psychological drama and terror that Moffat can do. I don't think he's going to. I think he's got kids, so I don't think he'll go too far. I think he has. The line where he will draw it.
Do you think he uses his own kids as a litmus test?
Oh, yes. Hell yes. Did you read the wonderful little article that's in Doctor Who Monthly about Stephen taking Matt home to meet his children?
Oh, no, I did not.
And, oh, my God, it's hysterical because one of his little sons looks up at Matt and looks up at his daddy and says, so is this my doctor then? And Matt knelt down and said, yes, I am your doctor. And the kid said, well, then come with me, grabbed him, and ran him out of the house. And the whole time, Stephen's going, no, you can't run off with him. And the kid was like, of course I can. I can do whatever I want. And so the kid trotted him up and down the street and introduced him to all of his friends. Look, this is the new doctor. Isn't he lovely?
I want to do that to Matt as well.
Well, who the hell does it? I mean, it must be nice to be one of Moffat's kids, you know?
So,
they get to go play on the TARDIS set.
Yeah,
how
absolutely.
Wonderful is that?
Absolutely. So, you know, speaking of the TARDIS set, what did you think? Dale, let's start with you.
I loved it. It was beautiful. I mean, hang on. Just to get this cleared up once and for all, there is nothing about last night I did not like.
Right.
Apart from one thing, there was one thing that pissed me off royally.
What was
that? Was the bloody continuity announcer talking over the end credits and shrinking them to half the screen again.
Okay. So, Leela, what did you think about the console?
Oh, I loved it. There's hardly anything else to say. I thought it was brilliant.
Tara?
Well.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if I loved it. There's so much going on that console.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
I like the taps.
Oh my God, the taps!
Hot and cold.
Oh my God, taps and their foot pedals, and there are God knows how many little different dials and things that need to be tapped on. And then there's a little spinny whirly giggy thing, and of course the sonic screwdriver dispenser. And, you know,
the thing about the TARDIS console to me was I loved it, absolutely loved it. I had to really just stop and look at it a couple of times because I was like, "What the hell's that little bit?" Or,
yeah.
"What was that little bit?" I absolutely adore the old style monitor that is obviously not a real monitor, you know, jack from somewhere, but obviously something built to look like an old monitor, you know, old TV, like an old
backlit
TV sort of thing. I like that a lot. That was really cool. The hot and cold water things was pretty oddball because I wasn't exactly sure what the hell is that supposed to do. Obviously, it's not hot and cold
the
water.
Monitor has a very interesting thing on the back of it.
The monitor?
Which, yes.
Yeah.
If you look at the back of the monitor, which you haven't seen and unlikely to show you it, and it's also on the computer keyboard on the console, both of them have a little plate in the corner that say Magpie Electricals.
Oh, that's funny. Were you able to see that on the HD, I guess?
Brilliant.
No, they actually, there's a thing on the BBC website where they actually take you on a tour of the TARDIS.
Oh, fine.
They did it on Confidential as well. But there's Magpie Electricals is on the back of the monitor and on the computer keyboard.
Oh, that's great.
And I want that cheat sheet that they gave Matt Smith that tells him what all the quadrants of the control panel do.
Yep. And there's now lit up Gallifreyan text above the doors.
Yes.
Which reflects onto the floor. There's the base of the TARDIS now has it's liquid.
Liquid.
Down in the bottom of the TARDIS. It's amazing. What? That's probably where the swimming pool leaked from the library.
but anyway, yeah, I really liked seeing the new console. I loved seeing the new room. I mean, the new inside of the TARDIS looks great. It's very old school spaceship, yet seems to hold very true to the original set design from the Hartnell era, you know. And, you know, speaking of the Hartnell era set design, Dale, you know, when I'm talking about the large-looking round, almost like a light sort of thing, on the ceiling,
It used to be the power converter or the power module or whatever.
It looks like
they've enlarged it and they've actually put it right over the console as a massive structure. It is you know, based on that same design.
I thought so, because it looked very familiar and I was like, whoa, hang on, that's pretty cool. So I like the way they threw back to the older TARDISes, but I also really dig the fact that the console looks kind of like TEN's console, you know, the one that we're used to seeing in the new series, but it's got all these nice little analog-looking dials and bits and pieces and stuff that look like they've just been thrown together in there, and I love that. And the fact that the TARDIS can just sort of, like, regenerate itself like that after
Well, the TARDIS
damage.
Is meant to be a living thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they're
going
to be talking a lot more about that this season.
Oh, that'll be good. Yeah. That'll be very cool. So.
Yeah. But the one thing I liked about it most of all, although I did love Tennant's console room, because that was absolutely Eccleston and Tennant's, because that was absolutely beautifully done.
Right.
But I love the fact that the console is now hexagonal again rather than round.
Right.
Yes, it is. It looks a little smaller too.
It's bigger. It's huge.
The console?
The console is bigger than the old console.
Wow.
It is bigger on the inside than ever before.
Well, I can't wait to see.
It's got all these levels and staircases going off everywhere, so you can actually get to other places in the TARDIS.
Well, that'll be great. That'll be very cool. I can't wait to see more of the TARDIS like that. So. The new direction to me, it seemed kind of light. It seemed kind of fun, really fun. Just, you know, from everything from set design to Matt Smith, and just very lively and very fun. And I like that. And the fact that they started it off with, you know, Amy as a little girl, you know, playing toward the kids. Do you think it's going to be a bit more kid friendly?
No.
Are you worried? See, when I saw it, I was a little worried, and this may be just from the music cues that I heard, the incidental music inside the episode. It reminded me a little too much of the music that you would hear on a Sarah Jane episode. Now, what are your thoughts on that?
No, I think it's a more grown-up Doctor Who.
Does Murray Gold do the music for?
Yeah, he does. Yes, okay. He does. He does all of them.
Okay. Okay, then that's the deal there. And it's funny how musical cues will do that or make you.
But
think
the Doctor Who, you know, that episode alone was more grown up. I mean, when have you? I'm a kissogram, and you think, oh my god, that wouldn't have happened in Tom Baker's era.
Nope.
But, you know, so it is a sign that Doctor Who has grown up and moved with the times. Yeah, you know, Amy, you know, I'm kidding around about this being a police officer. It was the first uniform I had handy. It was this or a French maid. You know, the reference to Jeff and his laptop. I'm like, oh, God's sake, Jeff, get a girlfriend. They're very grown up references.
I think it's one of those things where it's still it can still be a kid show, but they throw
absolutely.
Those little references in that it makes the adults completely enjoy it because they catch those little things.
Yeah,
it's like
adults.
In Disney. Yeah. Disney has so many adult references, and it's absolutely
like
hilarious to go back and watch when you're older.
It's like the old Warner Brothers cartoons. Okay,
yes.
They have slapstick humor in the foreground for the kiddies, and then in the background, and as an aside, there are little things that just smack the adults between the eyes.
Mm.
So that's, I think that's what we're gonna see an awful lot of from Moffat this year. Because remember, well, he has got young children.
Uh-huh.
He does.
And they are going to give him feedback that he cannot get away from.
Oh yeah.
They don't like it. So,
but Doctor Who itself as the format has grown up.
Oh yes.
And that's what I love. So,
yep.
So with that, do you think that we're going to see any more romance in the TARDIS like we did in the RTD days?
No. Thank God. Although she's going to kiss him. You can guarantee she's going to kiss him.
Oh, hell yeah. She's going to kiss him. Yeah. If she's been getting paid to kiss strangers, you know she's going to kiss him.
She's a kissogram girl. So what the hell? No, but because I was a little worried about that too. I was just thinking, God, I hope they don't really go heavy on the romance thing, you know, like they did before. But
like to her own wedding, I love that bit. Love that.
It's a time machine. He can get her back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Have you met the pilot?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, that's pretty cool. So to wrap it up, what would be your pick of the week, Dale?
Honestly?
Yeah, honestly.
Watch the 11th hour until you're blue in the face, and then next week, 6:15, BBC One, The Beast Below.
The Beast Woo-hoo! Below. So Leela, is the 11th hour your pick of the week?
Duh.
See, why didn't I just say duh?
Because it just doesn't come across as well from you, Dale. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Shrinkers and custard aren't great.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So next week.
No, actually, really, I'm actually trying it, and it's actually not that nice.
Dale, I can't believe you have the gall to criticize a food that the doctor
likes
to eat.
No, I think this is great. I think that Happiness Patrol is going to be the only podcast that's going to be bringing somebody actually eating fish fingers. And custard. And
it sounds like he's loving it.
And we've got an exclusive here. And
Thanks, Doctor.
Well, I'll stick to my plate of beans. Thank you very much.
Oh, no, beans are bad. Beans
and Leela, I'm sure, will stick to her big fried plate of bacon.
Ooh.
Ew.
I may go get some bacon later today. Absolutely. I mean...
Actually, these fish fingers suddenly aren't that bad. Mm. Oh, well.
Lovely.
Uh-huh. This custard's not bad either. Actually, it's a bit of an acquired taste, but you get used to it.
Beans. The musical fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
I think they'd be better if the fish fingers weren't warm.
Ew. Oh, gross.
But next time we're going to have cold fish fingers, but actually I'm quite liking this. Okay.
Oh, my.
So I'd like to point out, Bird's Eye Fish Fingers, Ambrosia Devon Custard, actually not that bad together, bit of an acquired taste at first.
So do you have a yellow custard mustache?
No, I haven't stuck my face in the bowl yet, Lewis.
You gotta wait till you get it down to the bottom to get after that.
Wow, what a ride. So that's about all the time we got now for the Happiness Patrol this week. I want to apologize to everybody who tuned in expecting to hear Fraser Hines in an interview. He unfortunately could not make it this week, but we will reschedule his interview at a later time to be announced. So never fear, Jamie fans, Fraser will be here. So we have his guarantee, his word. So if you guys want to continue visiting and if you just can't get enough of the Happiness Patrol, we do have our blog site. Leela?
Our blog address is thehappinesspatrol.blogspot.com, and you can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/thehpatrol.
And we have an email if you want to send us hate mail or happiness mail. Either way, it's okay. I mean, because, you know, we're adults here. We can handle it. Right, Dale?
No.
Oh, yes. So, anyway, the email is the.happiness.patrol@gmail.com. So make sure you write in. Hey, I'm Lewis B.
I'm Tara W.
I'm Leela S.
And I'm eating fish fingers and custard.
So we'll see you guys later on the Happiness Patrol. In the meantime, stay happy. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to the Happiness Patrol. Hey, everybody, and welcome
she's
to the Happiness Patrol.
Yet.
Well, she'll be back by the time I get to her bit.
Just
okay?
Wait until we, she's arrived.
She's just getting a Kleenex.
Do as you're told.
Yes, Master.
You're 12 years late. 12 years and 4 psychiatrists. Or I kept biting them.
Hang on just 1 second.
Oh, for God's sake. Hurry up and eat your damn food. God, it's like talking to a 6-year-old, isn't it?
Happy Easter.
You've been watching Bugs Bunny again, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
Killed a rabbit.
I've been watching. I got to see some lovely video from some friends of mine who went one year, and there were all these guys dressed up as Vikings, and there was lots of booze involved.
You're so lovely.
Wovey. Get it right.
Wovey.
Yes, I know it. Oh, I can't help it.
All right, that's enough of that.
Who's got a chocolate bunny in their yard? Me, I do. Yes, I do. Who's got a chocolate bunny ears to eat? Oh, me. That's who. Join in there. Anytime you want to join in there, that's fine with me.